Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante along with Thomas Frank Carr. T. Frank, we got to name a winner for quarter number three. Who's the winner?
Sammy and Tyrone, I think, had a great question, because to me, that's the game, is how do you limit Clifford's weaknesses? How do you accentuate his strengths? How do you win next year with that guy, knowing his profile? And like I said to begin the show, I know what Sean Clifford is at this point in his starting career, and so does every other defensive coordinator. So there's the miracle outside chance he could evolve and fix that and become somebody different, but the most likely outcome is not. And then how do you win with that guy? How do you develop a game plan to do that? So that was a great question by Sammy, because I think that's going to determine the success of the offense next year.
All right, Sammy, we'll be getting in touch with you for the KSN sweatshirt. T. Frank, before we get started talking about new defensive coordinator Manny Diaz, oftentimes it somehow comes up in conversation when I talk to listeners. They want to know what we as a group talk about when we're not on the air. And I tell them it's typically the same conversation as we have on the air. We talk football. We talk Penn State football. But every once in a while, would you share with our listeners what our conversation was about between segments?
We talked about economics one time. I remember that. What were you
thinking? Talking about 2 minutes ago.
Oh, my. Yeah. So in the background, I don't know if you can hear the digging sound, but I have a bunny that sits behind me in my studio. I call it Pine Grove Studio B because it's the guest bedroom. And my wife, when we met, had bunnies. She had two bunnies that she adopted. And, you know, over the course of our relationship, getting married and all that stuff, they've been a part of the family. And we have one left now. The other one passed away of old age. And it just sits behind me. And it's in every single show I do. Normally it's very quiet, but today it's deciding it wants to dig into the hay feeder. And it's taking me back to when I grew up on a farm and cows would just waste all of the hay that I would put in the manger for them. And I have to go in and I'd have to clean it out. So I'm a little frustrated with Gatsby today.
T. Frank's bunny becomes the co-star of the show. T. Frank, new defensive coordinator was hired last week. Manny Diaz, former head coach at Miami, has become the defensive coordinator at Penn State. At the very least, if you're talking about name value, it's a good hire. But I'm more concerned about how he performs defensive coordinator for this Penn State team going forward. What should we expect from him?
So you're never going to get a 100% glowing review, because if that was the case, he'd still be the head coach at Miami. I think from a schematic standpoint, you're getting very much a similar guy to Brent Pry, and that's what James Franklin, he was up front about, of what he was looking for. He wanted somebody that would play the same systems and schemes from a philosophical standpoint, because as he pointed out correctly, we recruited these guys to play in the system. It'd be unfair to all of the players, present and future, that we have in the class of 22 as well, that we would then change the system and put them into something they weren't signing up for. So four down front, pretty much a 5-2. I'd say a little bit heavier, more into more five defensive back fronts than Penn State. When they found a good Sam linebacker, and Penn State has consistently had one that was pretty decent all the way back to Cam Brown, they've played a lot with three linebackers, so that might be, I'm interested to see how that changes with the personnel at Penn State and how Penn State has recruited. If you see more Daquan Hardy in the slot, if you see less Daquan Hardy in the slot, and who plays that Sam linebacker, because that position to me is going to be in flux this coming year anyway, because I would expect Curtis Jacobs to move over to the Will position with both linebackers, Ellis Brooks and Brandon Smith, moving on to the NFL. And the guys that I think they have there are more Mike linebackers than guys that can play Will, in the guys that they have that are ready to step up at that box linebacker position. So that's one area. Pressure with four, aggressive pressure with four, is a hallmark of Manny Diaz's defense. But on third down, he is very exotic with his blitzes. He likes to get pressure, and he plays more man coverage than Penn State has under Brent Pry. And people always want to know, like, well, how much more? Is it going to be like we're going to just... It's mostly zone. it's still, again, James Franklin found somebody who's similar in style, a lot of two high safeties, a lot of disguising coverage, using multiple safeties to create some havoc. I really like that about Manny Diaz, the way he does that. But it's in certain situations, and I think the way he recruited at Miami was to play more press man coverage. Now, that's going to be just what percentage, and it was a percentage difference between him and Pry was more aggressive with more talent. So where does that land with the talent available, with what Franklin and the vision is for the defense, and what Diaz brings to the table? So that's going to be kind of the gray area that we learn about over time.
Well, I think anyone who expects when you get a new coordinator in and the world to completely change isn't facing reality, because James Franklin, rightfully so, as the head coach, is going to mostly determine, here's the style. I know he's described as the CEO and lets his coordinators run things, but that doesn't mean they're not running what he wants, correct?
So it's his vision. Right. And if he says, my vision is that we don't give up big plays, that means coverage. Now, within that, can you create an elite defense that also doesn't give up first downs? Yes. But if your primary objective is to not give up big plays, then you're not going to be heavy into press man coverage, and you're not going to be blitzing crazy and playing cover zero and throwing it all out on the line. Which, by the way, I think is correct. I think that's the right way to play defense, because you're going to give up big plays anyway. In college football, you're already giving up yards and points because the RPO game and the read option and just the system and the rules in general are set up for the offense in football. So limit that and play smart football underneath that in those guidelines. And I think there's plenty of room to do that. There's plenty of room to still be aggressive, because Brent Pry, he sent blitzes frequently on third down. It's well known that Brent Pry was a guy that liked to bring pressure. I think the type of pressure and where it's coming from and some of the multiplicity is going to be the difference that I've seen in some of my research, is that it's a little more exotic, where there's a little bit more of guys coming from different weird angles, overloads, pressures with defensive backs, and not just your standard slot blitzes or things that Pry was doing during his time. So I think that'll change a little bit more, and that might be the area that is the biggest difference, but I don't think it's going to be insanely different that you're going to see something wild. Because even Brent Pry was dropping defensive tackles in fire zones, in zone pressure.
A pretty good coach once said, it's not the X's and O's, it's the Jimmies and Joes, meaning it's the talent you have.
Yeah.
But with that said, can you evaluate Manny Diaz's performance on the defensive side of the ball? We know that he didn't survive as head coach at Miami, but he does have a history as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and I think that speaks for itself as far as his production to get to the point that he was a head coach and that he was highly sought after in the SEC and the ACC as a defensive mind that was well respected. Being a head coach is different. It takes a different skill set. It takes different rules. There's different situations that apply. So as far as what he set forth of his vision at Miami, it's very similar to what he was as a defensive coordinator. And I, you know, this is all happening at the same time that I'm doing these prospect breakdowns on the class of 2022. So my information about Manny Diaz, my research is not yet fully complete. So to go back and to see his all of those things, I think the track record of his production at several places, including Texas, Mississippi State, and Miami before he was the head coach, I was impressed watching some of those defenses over time. And I was impressed some of the things they were doing this year, where they were experimenting more with this Big 12 sort of defense where you have three safeties on the field and you have a middle safety and two safeties, and they rotate based on field and motion and coverage, and trying to a different way to stop the jet sweep game and try to limit explosive lateral plays. They were doing a little more of that, but they also had a lot of good safeties. They recruited a five-star guy they wanted to get on the field. So, you know, I think that the creativity is there as a play caller and as a defensive mind. So I'm interested to see what he does there as well.
If I were the snarky type, I would ask you to evaluate his coaching at Temple, but that's not my style, T. Frank.
Certainly.
Instead, let me ask you about this. He's also going to be the linebacker coach, which certainly helps out. He fills in for Brent Pry exactly as he was, the coordinator and linebacker coach. That was Brent Pry's role also. It means not having to move other coaches around, so there's some stability and consistency. Tell me about his background as a linebacker's coach. Anything special or unique there?
Again, that's where I haven't been able to dig way down into his early years where he was the defense coordinator, linebacker's coach, kind of focusing more on the positional stuff. As a head coach at Miami last couple of years, I know from working with the Miami site this past year, that was one complaint, is that the linebackers didn't have quite the talent level and they didn't have quite the ability that was expected of your head coach being a linebacker's coach. He's the head coach. If you're the head coach, the positional coach, and a defensive architect, something is falling through the cracks. You're not going to be all those things. So it is. You could say that's concerning, but it's also, again, what we talked about with priorities and difference between job titles. So, you know, that is, to be totally honest with you, and to not just speak out of my orifices, I don't have an educated opinion on him as a linebacker's coach, but that is something I'm going to work on.
The other part of this hire is that he was the head coach at Miami. He was defensive coordinator at Miami. Much of his coaching history is from down south. I got to suspect, and I believe Miami was his hometown, that some of this, though, is also you're bringing in a guy who could recruit down in Florida also.
Well, that was one thing that was, I think, as a head coach, the recruiting was an issue, that he was focusing on other things other than being the James Franklin type of the masthead, the engine, whatever you want to call, of the recruiting machine for Miami. But previously, as a defensive coordinator, that was a strength of his. As a guy who went out on the road, multiple people that I've talked to, multiple things I've read, is that he was an energetic, engaging sort of guy, that he could recruit any part of the country and he could recruit any position on defense. So Penn State is very much in line there with what they have looked for from coaches recently under James Franklin of, you know, guys that are great at their position, guys that are great at their primary job, but also are relatable, good recruiters that can bring in the talent. They have both of those skill sets. And by the way, I want to say this again, because I've said this a couple times, but if you're evaluating James Franklin, the coach, on just his timeout usage and his game day management, you're missing the majority of what he's doing. Because it's not just the football talent evaluation. He's a great evaluator of talent. The number of coaches that have been poached from Penn State during his tenure is really impressive. There are, I think, right now 4 head coaches from his coaching tree. The guy evaluates talent really well, and I would trust that Manny Diaz is another one of those hires.
And that coach hiring of coaches, coordinators, position coaches is so important, and it's probably undervalued when you evaluate head coaches. All right, T. Frank, that's it for this edition of our show. Thank you all for tuning in, and make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.